Please turn with me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, and reading from verse 22. Romans chapter 3, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. This is the title of our subject tonight. There is no difference. As you look at and study history, and along and down the ages, society have tried to draw a line. Society have tried to classify men, the rich, the poor, the blacks, the whites, the educated, the illiterate, the great, the small, the third world, the West, developed, non-developed. I could continue the list. And you look at the way things are classified. Many people boast about their talents, about their capacities, about their possibilities, about their natural talents. Some are proud and they boast about their intellectual prowess. But one thing, men and women should be aware of, everything we have is given to us by God. Life, breath, health, everything you have. And in James chapter 1, verse 17, it is said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of change or variableness. But above all, the description and the classification men have made of society, Bible gives us a great declaration. This is how we should put it. There is a great statement, and God has declared in his word, the Bible, that above all, no matter what you think, no matter what the society has said, there is no difference. There is no difference among men. There is no difference among the human race. God makes no exception of persons. There is no segregation. There is no distinction. There is no exception. Oh, to make it simple, there are three departments on which I would like to show that God makes no difference between men. And the first one is given to us here in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. All for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is, even a child could understand this. There is nothing, no word complicated in the text. But this is the most clear or the clearest statement found in no other book and in no other religion. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Or you like it or not, you believe in it or not, this is God's statement about our nature. We are sinners from toe to head, the whole body sick. And our identity, we have names, we have different names, we have different nationalities. But in the sight and before God, there is only one name, one identity. Who are men and women? For all have sinned. All of us are sinners. So the Bible gives that great declaration, and it is so important. So Every day we come short of the glory of God. We miss the mark. Actually, the word sin, or to sin, that's the meaning. To sin, it's like a hunter who misses the deer and shoots at a tree. That's the meaning. He misses the mark. So in our relation, we have missed the purpose for which God has created us. We become our own gods. But look, fragile, frail, how could you believe in yourself? You hardly can stand. We have come short of God's holy standards. The standards of God are so high, and we fall short of all of them. And the description Bible gives us, you allow me, English is not my mother tongue, so I'm allowed to create words. And if the dictionary accept them or not, as long as you understand what I mean, man in his situation is not just revolution against God. He revolted against God or rebelled against God. This is what I call revolution. Rebel and revolution together gives you revolution. R-E-B-U-L-L-I-T-O-N. Rebel and revolted against God. But to make it even worse, because men flatter us, they flatter us, they caress us in the sense of our skin, the hairs of our skin. But the Word of God is the only book which, when you read it, you see yourself in the mirror as, not as you see yourself, but as the living God sees you and me. And believe me, the way Bible describes you and me, in Isaiah 53, it is said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Oh, we think we know it all. We think we have it all, especially we live in the West. Here we are. We have all. I don't need God. Oh, you need God because deep in yourself, even the atheist, when he's in trouble, he says, oh, God. But in normal life, he doesn't want to believe in God. When he's in trouble, when he's pushed to the wall, he says, God, help me. All have gone astray like sheep. So that is the description we are given of us in the Word of God. And I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we are sinners. Because if you are honest with yourself, and with God, of course, and with your neighbor, the person who is sitting you, you will recognize within your heart that you are a sinner, and this is something you are born with. You cannot change it. We are sinners by nature and by choice, by principle, by practice, and so on. There is no way to escape from that identity because this is what God said we are. Not that we concocted the identity or made it up, but this is why the living God, we have been created. We didn't evolve. Actually, we devolved. That's the reality. It's not evolution, it's devolution. Rather than going up, we are going down. What kind of illustrations can I take? When you give a gift, and I'm sure parents will agree with me on that, when you give a gift to a child in the presence of his parents, most of the time, the child has forgotten something. What do the parents say to him? Say something. What does he have to say? Thank you. They don't need to give him a magistral course on good behavior. But why can't he say thank you? It shows that we are born being already ungrateful. Born already ungrateful. Ungrateful towards our Maker, ungrateful towards God, ungrateful towards our parents. And our rebellion against our parents shows actually our rebellion against the living God. I'm not talking about spiritual, because the parents are not do not agree about our stand in the faith. This is another matter. But in most cases, the rebellion against our parents and men and women and the society shows that we rebel against also the living God, our Creator. But parents will also agree with me that the first word a child learns, it's not mom and dad. Because they teach him. What do they teach him? No. And very soon, the first word the child says is not yes, but no. So this is our position. We say no to God. We don't want him. We shut the door. We close the door at his face. We don't want to have fellowship with him, but he is our maker. Oh, how ungrateful it is to say there is no God. Psalm 14 verse 1 says, the fool says in his heart, no God. You know, the atheists, they have their festival also. Why is April called April Fool, the first of April? This is their feast. Because they deny the reality of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, dear friends, we are sinners and sinful people. Sin is the oldest man in the world. You know why sin catches you and me? Oh, there is an advantage in old age. Experience, wisdom, hopefully, wisdom and cleverness. And the devil is the unseen, is the oldest man in the world. And he catches us because he is wiser than us, he is clever than us, and he has more experience. The devil cannot read your mind. God can read. But the devil knows your habits. And he is waiting for you all the time. So at birth already we are infected with sin. The word all, it is said all, includes you and me, the whole human race. And I look at the faces, no here two people look alike. Even the so-called identical twins, we have some in the church, but even the so-called identical twins, when you look at them carefully, you can make differences. But there is something. One department in the life of the human race. We are in the same boat. We are wearing the same shoes, like father, like son. So the first thing Paul tells us, that in relation to our human race and our human nature, there is no difference. We are all sinners. And there is no way to get away from that identity, no matter who we are, where we are from, you and me. Even though we can be morally good, we can be religious, but in this matter, the Bible says, oh, the heart is deceitful above all. This is why, be careful when somebody says to you, I'm speaking to you from the deep of my heart or the bottom of my heart. What comes from your heart? The heart is deceitful, says Jeremiah 17, verse 9. So what you are telling me from the bottom of your heart can be wickedness. And this is the reality of our hearts, our mind, our will, our desires, our tastes, and so on. Everything we do is tainted. The most religious person, everything he does is tainted with sin. It's like you take a big glass of ink and you put a drop of water inside. Will it change it? It won't change it. It will always remain sting and stink, because this is our nature and we cannot do anything against it. All people everywhere are sinners. And please, I don't want to waste too much time here. But you look at verse 13 and 14, you will see that we are sinners with our words. What we say makes us to be sinners. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. That's our identity when we are not reconciled with the living God. And we think, we came from fish, we came from frogs, we came from animals, we come from chimpanzee. Oh, the atheists may come from these things, these animals, but not believers. Not believers. God is our creator. God is our maker. Oh, think about it. Think about it. You spurn God. What do you have in your hands? What do you have? Void? Cloud? It will disappear. But the Bible says, who does the will of God shall remain forever. The Christian, the believer who trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ is indestructible. Oh, the body will be destroyed. But the soul, you have a soul, and that is the real you. The real you, the soul needs, and you will fill the soul or the body with alcohol. You will fill the body with the drugs. You will fill the body with luxury, with ephemeral pleasures and so on. But this is just for a short time. The next day, you are still the same, and you want more. And as I was saying this morning, the world is like chewing gum. In the beginning, it's sweet, but very soon, it's bitter, and you want to spit it out. There is no difference. There is no difference. I hope nobody feels that I'm too involved in it. I'm saying this with, believe me, my heart, with grace. Hopefully, by making our conditions so ugly, we can see the love of a great God. God who gave himself to us in order that we will leave this world to itself, to its corruption, and have real relation, real life with the living God. And then we know what is there is life after death. We know where we will be. We know with whom we will be in that place. Because God has revealed it to us in his holy word. Not only we sin with our words, but we also sin in verse 15 and 16. We sin with our deeds, our works. The things we do, verse 15 says, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. We sin with our words. We sin with our deeds. But you don't need me to tell you also. You sin with your thoughts. Because already we are all, if you are honest again, you know that you are, each one of us have murdered already. Because the Bible says, even if you say to somebody, look at you are nobody. You killed him. You killed him. You have committed a murder. So we are, before God, we are all murderers. The second department where there is no difference. Not only, Paul says there is no difference among men in their human nature, in their human condition, that our intellect, our emotions, our will are all infected and affected by sin. Since Adam have sinned against God, all the human race have fallen. There is an avalanche of sin which has carried us away. Mountains of sins, day after day, in practice, in thinking, in our willing, in every aspect of our life. But the second element, the Bible says there is no difference among men about God's judgment. About God's judgment, in Ezekiel chapter 18, the Bible says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. So there is a judgment to come. And this is why Amos 4 verse 12 in the Bible says, prepare to meet with God. Prepare yourself. Guard, put yourself on. Put yourself up. in order to meet with God, because there will be a day of meeting. And Hebrews 9 verse 27 says, it is reserved for man, it is appointed for man to die once, and after comes what? The judgment. We will be judged. The Bible says we will be judged for all what we said, for all what we thought, and for all what we did. So the thoughts, the heart, what we thought in our hearts, and also what we did, words, works, and deeds, in every aspect we will be judged. And believe me, before God, there will be no bribery on that day. In Africa, they ask people, do you have long hands? Do you have long hands? And I'm sure most Africans will understand what it means. In offices, when there is a case in the court, they always ask, do you have somebody there who can help? Long hands. Bribery. How can you develop a... Oh, I shouldn't mention these things. You cannot develop a country with so big corruption like that. And they still believe in democracy. It's not serving others, but to serve themselves. That's the reality. But with God, God will judge righteously because he's the righteous God. In this world, some can escape. But in the world to come, there will be no escape. No one can bribe God, and we will all stand before him to be judged for everything we did in this life, and no one can escape or avert God's righteous judgment. The wrath of or holy anger of God is against us unless we are reconciled with the living God. But you see, if we remain in just the two steps, the two departments I have mentioned up till now, that there is no difference in human nature and there is no difference in God's judgment, we are the most helpless and hopeless people in this world. But please, look at verse 21, Romans 3, verse 21. I hope there is a hope there. There is a great hope. There is a living hope. Because God made a way, and he's promising to us here in this text that he gives us that hope, and he gives us what we do not deserve and we could never earn. And there is that conjunction of coordination. And in verse 21, but what a great word. It's a small word, but it changes everything in the text. Before, you can see it's all doom. It's all about ugliness of our state. But in verse 21, but now the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. That leads me to the third department. There is no difference in our human race, in our human nature and condition. There is no difference also about the judgment of God. But the third one, there is no difference in God's love. The way God loves us, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. This is the most known verse in the Bible. Just 25 words. You may forget many things I have said tonight, but if you remember John 3:16, there is enough food for you to be saved. To take a sinner from this world, from this empty world, and to take him into, and to transport him into heaven. God so loved sinners. And he came in the Lord Jesus Christ to express that love to sinners. And God's love is not confined to a nation or to a race, but God's love is given to every nation and every tongue and every color. When I got converted, I was told, how could you leave the great religion of your parents, grandparents, and ancestors, and you took the religion of Westerners. They believe that Christianity is the religion of Westerners. It's the religion of the infidels, and it's the religion of the people who have corrupted the Bible, who have falsified. And they said, God has a son. But it's because they never read the Bible. It's because they don't know the reality of the scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ died for every sinner who believes in him. That's the reality of the gospel. So God's love was manifested in the most powerful way when Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, came from heaven. Oh, believe me, he didn't need to come and be worshipped by men. In heaven, he was worshipped by angels. Thousands, millions of angels, millions of and millions of angels were worshipping him day and night. But he came in this world, and we took him, we put him on the cross of Calvary. But on that cross, he died for every person, children and adult alike, who will trust in him and yield their life to him. That's why he came. We deserve nothing, but through his death, instead of us, Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. Oh, can I wrap up what I said? All the three elements now. There is no difference in human nature and condition. There is no difference in before the judgment of God. But there is no difference also in God's love towards sinners. Which means, for God, even though people split, classify the society in different units, for God, there are only two units. There are only two kinds of people. The lost and the saved. The guilty and the non-guilty. Which one are you? But also, there are only two masters you can have. Oh, you think you have many masters, but you have only two masters in your life. The devil or God. Which one are you serving? But there are only two destinations. Two kinds of people, guilty, non-guilty. Two kinds of masters, the Lord or yourself and the devil, but also two destinations, hell and heaven. Where are you? Where are you going? Whom are you serving? In which camp can I put you? And as I close, here is the ABC of salvation. Oh, you realize that doomed, condemned as a sinner, one day you will stand before God to be judged. You heard about the love of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say to yourself, help me. How can I be saved? How can I avoid going to hell? I want to go to heaven. Oh, the Bible says you have to recognize three things. The first one is that you are a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 John 1, 7 says, if you say you are not a sinner, you deceive yourself. Just imagine somebody deceiving himself, lying to himself. Is that possible? Oh, you should be clever not to lie to yourself. So you must recognize that you are indeed a sinner and you need the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must repent. Repent from your sins, and as I explain very often in this place, what does repentance mean? Repentance is a change on four levels. You change your mind, you change your heart about the Lord Jesus Christ, you change your will, but you change also the direction. Mind, heart, will, and direction. And you cry unto the Lord, Lord, I'm a sinner. I repent from my sins. And the second, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust him. Trust his work on the cross of Calvary. Trust what he has done on that cross. He is the Redeemer. He is the Justifier. He is the Propitiator. He is the one who has appeased God's holy wrath against sinners. So when I cry unto the Lord Jesus Christ, he said he will not turn his back unto any man who cries unto him. Oh, would you do that tonight? coming to, don't go to a man and say anything to a man. It's between you and God. It's between the living God and yourself. There is no third party between God and the sinner. Cry unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And the third one, all have sinned, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last one, confess. Confess to him all your sins. You can hide to men, but you cannot hide to the living God. The remedy of sin is not a man, is not another man like us, is not by gold, is not by silver, it's not by good works. Oh, is it difficult to look? Bible says, look what Christ have done on the cross of Calvary. He paid the price. As sin came to us through Adam, salvation also came to us by the Lord Jesus Christ if we believe in him. He is our righteousness. Jesus Christ gave himself on the cross so that all our sins might be forgiven. This is the greatest news of all. And forgiven and justified freely. The righteousness of God comes through Christ to all who believe. We cannot do nothing. We can do nothing to change our condition. We can't pay for it. We can't work for it. Free and free indeed we are when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is unmerited and undeserved. And as I close, just to read Romans 10, because the same word is applied there. Romans 10, verse 12 and 13. And remember, the world, when you speak with the people from the world, they say, oh, you Christians, you miss joy, you miss life. But there is nothing. If you are a visitor tonight and you have never cried unto the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no greater joy than to go and sleep tonight having all your sins forgiven. Going tonight, sleeping, knowing that all the burden, all the mountain of sins, of all my lies, my jealousy, my crimes in my mind, my lies, whatever sin, the mountains, the list is kilometric. It will never finish. But I can go tonight and sleep knowing that all my sins have been forgiven. And in Romans 10 verse 12 and 13, as I close, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And verse 13, oh, this is a wonderful text. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Come to Christ, repent from your sins, trust in him. He paid the price. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee once more for such a great Savior. Oh Lord, as we have prayed, we intercede for sinners in this place. Maybe one, two, three. No one knows how many are here who have never seek and find the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we pray for thy mercy upon them. Reveal thyself and make salvation possible unto whosoever cries unto thee tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for the Holy Spirit which shakes, moves, and melts the heart of sinners. We thank thee for each one of us who has been reconciled and who could even tonight say, yes, indeed, I have come to the Lord and I know my sins have been forgiven. We thank thee and we praise thee in the name which is above all names, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's close tonight by